The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Planning a summer holiday can be a headache with endless choice competing against limited time and limited money. So should you roll the dice and try somewhere new or stick with the old faithful? With that in mind, we're joined by Lorraine Sweeney, hotelier, Owen Curry, owner and editor of TravelExtra.ie, Jade Kirwan, who's head of communications at Ryanair. Good morning and welcome. Good
morning, Pat.
Jade, we'll talk to you first. Ryanair have a number of new routes on this year.
Yes, absolutely.
Where can you arrive at and where can you travel from?
So we've a whopper of schedule this year, over 200 routes, 10 of them new, as you mentioned. So from Cork, we have six new routes. We're going to have Barcelona, we have Brussels, we have Paris, we have Rhodes, Venice and Zadar as well. From Shannon, we have the addition of Gran Canaria for the summer. From Knock, we'll have Tenerife, extended actually from the winter, having performed quite well. And then from Dublin, we'll have Albia and Tallinn as well. So two new additions there too. So some nice...
Okay. Now, the extra routes in Cork, does that mean that you managed to get an extra plane into Cork? Is that
yes,
how it's
so
done?
We're actually going to have an extra plane there for this summer. So we're up to four aircraft now in Cork, which is phenomenal. It's about a 400 million investment. So significant growth there.
Okay. We were expecting prices to rise this year on account of fuel costs and so on. What's happening generally in Ryanair? Michael O'Leary expressing disappointment recently that fares had not increased by as much as he thought, where the rest of us were cheering.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose fares are up about 21% on the previous year. So just under the €50 mark on the average fare for the last year. Now, looking into summer, we had expected them to rise about 5 to 10%. But unfortunately, I suppose for some, it won't be rising so significantly, but it is great news for our customers. So customers will only be experiencing a soft lift after the summer period, anywhere between 0 to 5%. So marginal, really. So again, I think if they're planning any getaways this year, summer is the time to do it.
You're offering, how many flights then out of Ireland all told? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know off the top of my head. It's about 200 routes, so be thousands of flights.
So Owen, what are your reflections on the choice we have?
Really, really good choice. I mean, we've got 307 routes, I think, from Dublin. The last two, the last one was just, the new route was announced only last week, Pegasus to Ankara and Turkey. And Ryanair, you know, put on, I'll be on Tallinn, which we weren't expecting. So we've 13 new routes. That brings the total out of Dublin to 307. About 106 of those are seasonal. Cork is back to pre-pandemic, which is something we took a little bit of time. We've over 50 routes from there, and we've about 30 from Shannon, and we've about 100 from Belfast as well. So the other smaller airports, Knock has got, you know, one new route, and Derry got a new route to Faro starting this week. We're getting back to pre-pandemic. We're not quite there. It'll be within breathing space, 98-99%. It has helped greatly by the fact that one of the few airlines that was ready to return after the pandemic was Ryanair. Michael O'Leary, very clear strategy. He kept his aircraft certified. He kept his pilots licensed. He was prepared to jump. Obviously, Ireland is only a small part of their overall. It's only about 4% of their overall. He's moved into big markets, Spain, Italy, Germany, places like that. And that has been very good for Irish people because it's kept our choice up there, whereas a lot of other countries, the choice has been seriously chiseled back since the pandemic.
Now, the timing of booking is important. How do you get the best price? Because if you go early when they launch the routes, yeah, the prices can be quite high.
How long is a piece of string? What really happens is that it's trying to predict the winner of the horse race. And Michael O'Leary is a racing man. He would have moved, anticipated, as Jade told us just there, he was anticipating a situation in Europe this year where the demand would outstrip supply for a couple of reasons. Boeing, 13 fewer aircraft than Ryanair expected were delivered for the summer. And also there's a big engine recall, which is affecting Airbus-only airlines. Not Aer Lingus is not in that category, but a lot of other people are, including Wizz and Germanwings.
So therefore seats are limited.
Now, this was what we were looking at 6 weeks ago, and probably the last time I was on this programme, this is what I was talking about. And what he said on May the 7th and what he said yesterday is quite true. The demand hasn't been as high as they expected. That's really bad news for people because the inventory, the prices were put in the system last December and January at a pretty high level. You were getting texts here. Everybody was complaining how high summer was looking. We've had two 48-hour flash sales from Ryanair in the last few weeks. A lot of people who booked their flight are seeing it actually coming down. So the old you mantra. Mean,
so people might be unhappy having booked in January and suddenly booking in May, there's a cheaper offering.
And the computer makes the decision, by the way. It looks at how many seats have been sold and it decides to put it into the 48-hour flash sale. So the normal thing, always my advice is 6 weeks to go is when you will really get the optimum price. After that, the prices start to rise. 2 weeks to go, 1 week to go, 2 days, 3 days, you're going to be paying very, very high prices. But, you know, you can hang on till about 6 weeks to go and you might lose a 10 or
nerves
20 euro
steel.
Here. It is a game.
You know,
it's casino
going
stuff.
On
you know.
A family holiday and you've got a couple of kids and parents and maybe a granny in tow as well.
Okay.
And they're all heading off. And you need to be sure they can get on a plane.
Okay, here's...
Nerves of steel.
You jump early if you need to be sure. You really need to... If you've got a cranky teenager, that's the end of your entire summer and probably the rest of the year afterwards. You also need to know if you're going to a wedding, if you're going to Taylor Swift, if you're going to a match. And that's, in a way, the low-cost airlines know that. And when they put the flights in the system first, they know there are certain people that would pay a higher premium. And then they let the computer make the decision after that. Sometimes it comes down. But if you really need to be there, don't hang about.
Yeah. Now, what about the travel agents? Are they busy? The travel the tour operators.
Yeah, tour operators, travel agents, they're not the same thing. Tour operator puts the package together. The travel agent is selling it. Very busy, very strong summer for them. Couple of reasons. The travel agent and product is very different. You know, what we've seen happen with aviation is basically becoming taking the bus to Galway. You know, if you're getting a one-way for a two-way flight to point to point, you're going to probably book that direct. They go into more complicated stuff. It means families, it means teenagers, it means small children, kids clubs. They also do honeymoons because that's complicated. And sometimes sometimes fly five sectors. So any complicated flights with connections, really worth going back to your travel agent.
But suppose you wanted to do something bespoke. I want to go to Italy and I want to go to Rome. I want to go to Florence. I want to go to Venice. Would they organise your itinerary or is
of
that
course.
Too bespoke?
That's what they do. And they have the knowledge and they have the contacts and they have the ground contacts on the ground and the transfers handed over. The interesting thing is, the perception is you'd always be beaten on price. Sometimes they won't because they bulk buy. If you're buying 100 rooms off a hotel, you're going to get it at a better value and they contract in advance. They sometimes contract 2 years in advance. That's changing as well because they're finding it difficult to get hoteliers to contract on set static contracts, but that's a different game. That's something that happens within the trade. You mentioned tour operators. There are three major ones, Top Flight, Sunway, Irish owned and TUI. They've actually grown. They are very strong in Greece and in Italy, less so, and it's parts of Spain and Portugal. Their share of the market isn't as high, but what they do is they sell you a particular specific product, get you into a hotel with the team, with the kids park, with the honeymoon specials. That isn't accessible on the online travel agents. And we have Cyprus is an example. Ryanair fly into Paphos in Cyprus. It's a little bit far away from the resorts. TUI fly into Larnaca. They're right beside the resorts. They collect you, bring you to the hotel. All the stress and all the worry about organising your own stuff, they take it away. That's what they're good at. And that's why they're still here 20 years after I listened to their demise being confidently predicted by a lot of people, including Jade's boss.
Michael O'Leary, yes, because he didn't like selling in bulk to travel agents. He decided he wasn't going to do that business anymore.
It was quite fractious at the time. The agents didn't like him because he stopped paying them commission and he responded quite aggressively. He actually won that hands down. But in the old days, we were prisoners of the Saturday flight. We went out on Saturday to the resort and we came back on Saturday. That's a long time ago before some people...
Now, Lorraine is listening to this with askance, I suppose. How can you compete with all of this, Lorraine, an Irish hotelier?
Yeah, well, first of all, what I want to say is I really welcome Ryanair announcing new routes because this opens up for Ireland hugely, especially
people coming the other way.
Well, yes, I look at flights from the coming in. But also, I recall, I'm old enough now to recall paying €700 for a flight to Brussels for a day trip. Economy was full, so we had to buy the ticket up front in an Aer Lingus flight. And here we are now that you can fly for nothing practically to Brussels back and forth because of Ryanair's intervention. So as an island nation, fair dues to Michael O'Leary, they've opened up the world to us and opened up tourism for Ireland, because, you know, we wouldn't get 13.5 million people into Ireland if we didn't have a Ryanair competing with Aer Lingus. And consequently, here in Ireland, our tourism sector has shot up. So credit where credit is due, even though we can all be critical from time to time if your bag is an
extra
little bit heavy.
We're always thinking of us leaving the island on a Ryanair
flight.
Exactly. But we should think of those coming in on a Ryanair
flight. And huge numbers are coming in on Ryanair flights, and in particular for short stays.
And in fairness, Aer Lingus responded to the Ryanair model.
Absolutely.
And do something similar.
But there's nothing better in business than two good competitors.
Yeah.
And that's what we have.
And Aer Lingus are really important transatlantic. They're growth transatlantic. They've put a lot of their emphasis into filtering people through Dublin to do transatlantic. We have a new route, only started last week, to Denver. These sort of things wouldn't have happened if we were going point to point, Irish people and Colorado people. They filter people through. Very, very good for us, and some of them stay over on the way. It's very interesting. We have two of the strongest airlines in Europe. Sometimes we take them for granted. Every other country is looking at ailing airlines with not falling numbers. Lufthansa isn't anywhere near it was pre-pandemic. We've had two of the strongest airlines, and it would be it leads to probably a little bit of taking them for granted, which shouldn't happen.
So let's look at the domestic business then. The hoteliers here and how they're coping. I mean, there are issues in terms of hotel rooms occupied, which you and I spoke about before, occupied by asylum seekers and Ukrainians and so on.
Yes, and I think that's short-sighted. I think it's going to end soon enough. I think by the end of this year, a lot will have changed in that regard as a result of changes that are taking place.
Okay, so how fares the domestic industry at the moment?
The early part of this year was soft market. Rates were down. We had a disappointing April. May is looking very good. And
Who disappointed you? Who didn't come?
The rates were down because less people were travelling.
Yeah. So the UK is down anyway.
Well, Germany is our number one into Ireland, and UK is very, very low. The bottom has fallen out of the UK market in the last number of years for tourism into Ireland. America obviously is very strong, but Germany, France and other European countries are our biggest inward market here now.
Okay, so what are the prospects like for the summer?
The prospects are strong, yes. I mean, we're just about at the start of the peak season now. End of May, June, July and August looks to be very strong. Really what makes a year in the tourism sector is, does it last right into September, October, November? And you can't predict that yet. But short-sighted bookings are very strong.
Okay, and what are people booking?
Well,
I mean, are we talking about holidays? Are we talking about short breaks?
Yes, a lot of short breaks. And a lot of people are coming to Ireland, obviously, as we know, our natural environment. Pat, I mentioned to your researcher that I flew across from Africa, having spent a week there last week. And when I was about to land in Dublin Airport and you look at the lushness and the greenness compared to where we've come from, I think people are coming to Ireland because of our eco-friendly offers, our natural environment, our seascapes and landscapes. And it's supposed to be the main reason why people are coming here. It's completely different to flying to Greece to sit in the hot sun.
And what about the value for money thing? You've got to have a lot of domestic tourism to make it all work, don't you?
Actually, I think a lot of Irish people are going abroad. Let's be very frank about this. I think the staycation market was strong during and after the pandemic. But quite honestly, I think most Irish people are going abroad, and the big market is foreign tourists coming into us. Without our carriers and our 13 million people coming in, we'd be flat on the ground in the tourism sector.
All right. Owen, that question, all the people coming in and all the people going out, brings us to the DAA and the limit on Dublin Airport, which
insane.
Is
insane. You could travel, I was in Africa last week as well, and you travel around the world and people dream of a functioning airport that people want to fly to, that airlines are queuing up to get to. We have it. People look on in envy. and we're telling them to go away. We have what's the dramatic thing that's happened in the last month is that the IAA put a cap on the winter numbers and the seats that are available. They've moved in almost to police the Bord Pleanála decision, which was made way back in 2007 and was based really on traffic on the M50. There was a great fear about traffic on the M50. So we're now in a situation where airlines have been turned away. A major competitor to Ryanair that was looking at coming to Dublin couldn't come this summer. Routes to China, places like that. I'm getting my inbox is filled with Manchester announcing new routes that would be coming to Dublin. It's a great sense of us taking for granted the position that took hard work and years of sacrifice and years
so who's,
of...
who's responsible?
It's
I mean, you know, you talk about inertia in government, whether it's about planning for housing or planning for hospitals or whatever it is, inertia. Like, can we point the finger and say, this minister, that body, this body?
We can certainly point the finger and say that this minister is passing the buck and that minister is passing the buck. And all right across, they're saying the planning system. The planning system is fine for a takeaway. You know, and the neighbours coming in and saying, oh, there'd be too many bags on the street for a major piece of infrastructure. To give you an example, Dublin Port, which where all our cornflakes comes into the country, doesn't go through the local planning authority. It has this fast track facility that's been denied to the airport because the politics of the airport has changed. It's been caught up with noise and flight paths and emissions and all sorts of other issues that have got mixed in. But we do have a real problem. It's not a big problem for summer 2024. It's going to haunt us in summer 2025 unless some politician sits up and says this requires intervention, planning process, which takes, everybody knows how long it takes. It can take 4 years by the time you've gone through the court appeals and everything. We're not going to be stuck on putting a brake on our economic growth.
Okay, nodding from both Lorraine and from Jade.
Well, right? I was chatting with Jade outside and I was giving her a little bit of advice and I was suggesting that the thrust of a combination of Michael O'Leary talking to our new Prime Minister, Simon Harris, of whom I'm a constituent, I think...
Taoiseach, hopefully.
Taoiseach, yes. I think, you know, go straight to the... To the man at the top who's making decisions. It's early days for him, but he has a short span in order for it to make real impact. And I agree that the number limitation in Dublin Airport is absolute madness. And I think that's a huge opportunity for our Taoiseach, Simon Harris, for to take swift action. He's shown good signs of making swift action in the last couple of weeks. And I think that problem should be solved very quickly. And a lot of problems can be solved without allowing politicians to dither over it and discuss it for years. There's a new opportunity.
I mean, they talk about, you know, the passenger numbers as if they weren't individuals who were trying to do business, for example, or an Irish team going to the Olympics or whatever. You know, there are all sorts of things. Jade, what's your take on...
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have been long-term canvassing. I think people are probably sick of us calling on Eamon Ryan at this stage to do something about it and getting absolutely no response in return. I think people haven't probably seen the detriment that is about to unfold. Obviously, we pulled routes and capacity last November for this summer. So we lost 3 aircraft and 16 routes from Dublin to southern Italy for this summer. And again, I think we're really going to, I suppose, hit the wall when it comes to this winter. And I think that's when people are really going to realise the detriment that's at hand here. The fact that IAA has enforced the 14.4 million cap for the winter period means that all the ad hoc flights, which are about 20-30% of what we operate in the winter, the likes of your Christmases, your midterms, your sporting events, as you've mentioned, are going to fall off. And when people can't travel home for Christmas...
Yeah, how does that actually work? You talk about being policed. I mean, they're counting the bodies and as you approach the limit, they say to the airlines, what, do you have to start cancelling flights?
They look at the slots, they look at the seat capacity, aircraft type in advance and they say with 6 months, you know, the theory is over the 6 months, the airline has to come to an agreement to cut a certain capacity or to meet that capacity requirement. It's quite unusual. We had slot restrictions in Dublin Airport for many years, and that was really so that they could handle the aircraft coming and going. There was a limit of 44 takeoffs and landings, so they didn't want to overcrowd particular days, and it was a safety issue. What we're dealing now is being told that the number of people going through the airport are going to be managed in advance by an external authority so that it doesn't exceed 32 million, because there was quite a bit of controversy over the figures for last year. And until we get an intervention, that looks like the situation we're going to be in. Somebody has to say the 32 million cap doesn't make sense in the modern age. It's not a way of achieving any of the things that were set out by On Board Planola in 2007,
yeah, some
and
of the
by
comments.
Many of the advocates.
The problem is we have a Green Minister for Transport and he is totally conflicted. That's from Ed. Why is ever-growing tourism good? It's bad for the environment and we don't have enough hotel spaces at reasonable prices. I say less tourism right across the world, limit air travel, reduce carbon emissions. Another one, ordinary Irish people cannot afford family holidays in Ireland. Outside of camping, we have no affordable options for our own. And I don't think the industry actually misses us. Yes, lift the cap, but nighttime curfew must be applied, as for most European airports.
We had this plan to start transatlantic flights in 1948. There was a sort of an argument then that this would be very bad for Ireland, would bring pagan influences. New government, the John Boland government, was elected. He sold off the aircraft, which had been bought at great expense in a buyer's market at a big loss. It took 10 years for us to get back in the game of, you know, expansion at Dublin Airport. And anyone, ask your grandmother what the 1950s were like.
All right. Last words then, Jade. You're looking forward to a good and prosperous summer, I presume, at Ryanair.
Absolutely. A strong summer ahead. Lots of variety, lots of low fares for our customers.
Lorraine, are
yes, you? Yes, equally. I think it's going to be a strong year. But I think we need the cap lifted so that we can have tourists coming in off season as well as during the high season so that the hotels can fill year round.
Okay, and Owen?
Great choice, lots of bargains, and we'll see. Keep an eye on the new routes, the ones that have just been started. Ryanair's new route to Sicily, there's another, Aer Lingus' new route to Sicily. Anywhere that has a new route, you'll get lower prices than you would if you were striking the second year of the service.
Very good. Owen Corry, thank you very much. Jade Kirwan, Ryanair Head of Communications, and hotelier Lorraine Sweeney, thank you one and all.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.